You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's fucked.
Yeah, it is.
The Wire.
Last week, the government finally launched their Youth Offender Military Academies, more commonly known as boot camps. Since their announcement, the idea of the camps has caused a lot of concern surrounding their effectiveness and treatment of youth. The first camp has taken in 10 youth, 9 of which are Māori. In Aotearoa's history, as well as globally, there's repeated evidence that a tough approach to boot camps hasn't been effective in lowering youth crime or rehabilitating the youth involved. On top of this, the release of the Royal Commission of Inquiry into Abusing State Care last week has amplified concerns that these boot camps may contribute to a cycle of abuse, particularly for Māori youth. I spoke to lecturer in Counselling, Human Services and Social Work at the University of Auckland, Kendra Cox, about what these boot camps may look like and the potential impact they'll have on Māori youth. The pilot for Young Offender Military Academies, or boot camps, was launched last week, and there's no secret that the idea has been subject to a lot of backlash even before they began. What are your main concerns surrounding these boot camps?
My main concerns surrounding the introduction of these boot camps, which opened last week, is not only the impact that it will have on the individual young people, the rangatahi there, 10 young people, 9 of whom are Māori, but also the kind of wider impacts and this real tough-on-crime approach that fails to even look at the kind of social and economic drivers of crime and harm. Firstly, on the individual side of things, you know, there's so much evidence out there, both from Aotearoa in the 80s and 90s and globally, you know, over the last sort of 40 years, that says that boot camps do not work to reduce crime. In fact, this kind of disciplinary style approach actually has the opposite impact, and it's more likely to be criminogenic, which means that it's likely to create and maintain the causes of crime. You know, young people who are around kind of other young people who are from backgrounds of struggle, deprivation, and who have likely come from backgrounds where they've witnessed or even been subjected to violence in their own communities and in their own whānau. It kind of creates this environment where these young people will be more likely to use violence and create harm in the future. In terms of impact on these individual young people's mental health, we've recently seen the reports from the Royal Commission of Inquiry into Abuse in State and Faith-Based Care, which shows that boot camps generally are very harmful, you know. These sorts of approaches, they don't kind of have aroha, they don't have support, and they don't have the trauma-informed kind of care that these young people really need.
The government has relabeled these boot camps as Young Offender Military Academies. It does sound quite hardcore. So how do you expect them to operate? They haven't released anything specifically, but do you have any idea what sort of things the young people inside these camps are going to be experiencing?
No. So the government hasn't really been particularly open about what this program will look like. What they have said is that it will be around 3 months of this sort of military-style academy, which really is a boot camp by another name, and then 9 months of transition into rehabilitation at home. Again, we're not really sure on what the specifics of this mean. However, what we do know is that Mark Mitchell, who's the Minister for Police, has said that up to 30 New Zealand Defence Force personnel will be involved in this, whereas last week Christopher Luxon said that there would be 2 social workers and some unnumbered amount of senior psychologists involved in this program, which really goes to show where the priorities lie here. This is definitely an intervention which is focused on discipline, and as much as the government recently has been saying it's not about punishment, that was certainly the rhetoric that the government was using prior to the election, and it tends to really depend on who the audience is. So it's very much about discipline and punitive responses and not about trauma-informed care. And nor is it about addressing, you know, the social and economic conditions that actually create and maintain crime and harmful behaviour.
Is that non-disclosure of the methods that they're going to be using a cause for concern at all?
Yes, certainly this flip-flopping from Minister for Children, Karen Chow, and our Prime Minister, and also, you know, from Minister of Police, Mark Mitchell as well. There's been a general flip-flopping between whether it's going to be tough on crime or whether it's going to be trauma-informed care. And so they're really playing, you know, they're trying to play to different bases. And I think a lot of this is really in reaction to the release of the reports into abuse and care a couple of weeks ago. When these reports were released, you know, there was a lot of course, media coverage surrounding this, as there should be. You know, we've seen that more than 200,000 young people, children and adults have been abused in care between 1950 and 2019. So it certainly should be a cause for concern. We know, as evidence from both Aotearoa and globally has shown, that boot camps, you know, tend towards becoming abusive in one way or another. And on the other side of things, they also do nothing to actually reduce crime. So it's certainly a cause for concern.
Yeah, I did want to touch on that report, the Abuse and State Care report. There's a lot of concern that these boot camps are going to promote abuse, like outlined in the report. Do you think this is a possibility? Are there concerns that history may repeat itself in a way?
Yes, and well before the launch of these boot camps last week, you know, as soon as this came out on the national coalition governments, the coalition agreement that there would be a return to boot camps through this pilot, there has always been massive concern, you know, that they could create conditions of abuse within these boot camps, as we've seen in the recent reports into abuse and state care. And that's not only because of, you know, this disciplinary kind of punitive approach, which tends globally and here in Aotearoa to create conditions where abuse can happen and where abuse can be covered up. Not necessarily from kind of staff towards young people, it's also among young people as well. You know, this is being run out of a youth justice facility. We've already seen, you know, within the past few weeks, reports released by Mana Mokopuna, which was previously the Office of the Children's Commissioner, about systemic issues in our youth justice facilities, where staff broadly, you know, are under-trained, they're under-resourced, there's not enough senior oversight, and that they tend towards creating kind of conditions of abuse among young people and from staff towards young people as well.
And finally, there've been concerns as well how these boot camps are going to have an impact, particularly on the mental health of Māori youth. An OAIA report showed that nearly 80% of the cohort entering these camps have a confirmed or suspected mental health diagnosis. Do you think this is going to be dealt with well in these boot camps?
One thing that has really been missing, and I have been looking for it, one thing that has been missing, you know, from the kōrero around the introduction of these boot camps is any use of words aroha, any use of the word mana or whakapapa, you know, for these young people that are going into these boot camps. 9 out of these 10 young people in this pilot have Māori whakapapa, you know, and there's been no mention of tikanga, kind of informed care. There's been no mention of aroha, restoration of mana, and kind of connection to whakapapa for these young people. And when we're thinking about Māori mental health, and again, 9 out of these 10 young people are Māori, they need to include these dimensions, which we have known and which this government has known, you know, since the work of Mason Jury and this sort of cohort of people since the 1980s that have always shown that we need a holistic approach to Māori mental health care and to healthcare more generally as well. And so when we have a program which has, you know, up to 30 New Zealand Defence Force personnel, a couple of social workers and maybe one or two senior psychologists, that is certainly a cause for concern.
Is there anything else you wanted to add?
I would just add that this is really part of political point scoring, and it really reflects this government's kind of wider approach to being tough on crime. You know, not only do we have the introduction of this kind of boot camp project, but we also have the massive expansion of Waikerea Prison. We have $1.9 billion, you know, that's being added on top of our normal, our average, you know, yearly corrections budget as well. So this is really part of their approach that's focused on punishing people, whether it's adults or young people, and not addressing any of the actual kind of social and economic conditions that cause crime. Poverty, deprivation, social isolation, social dysfunction, and the drivers of family harm and child abuse and neglect. And if we actually want to stop young people from committing crime and, you know, committing harm in their communities, that is where we need to put the money. We need to go to these young people, to their whānau, to their communities, to their hapū and iwi, and ask them what they need and what can we do to fix this.
That was the University of Auckland's Kendra Cox on the government's youth offender boot camp's effect on Māori youth. Text us in on 5395, any of your thoughts on these pieces.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.